You know that project you've been working on, just chipping away at it, dreaming of the day you get to show it off? Then, when you're least expecting it, cancer. And finishing that project actually happens. I would know. I've been restoring this car for years, and today I'm giving it to my granddaughter. It's her 16th birthday and 2 years since my cancer diagnosis.
Mom, you finished it?
Happy birthday, boo-boo. You keep making plans.
Visit ohiohealth.com/keepmakingplans to learn more.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Today we are talking about some players that are outperforming expectations that you can maybe capitalize on and sell high. Let's go!
Jordan open! Chicago with the lead! Bryant to Shaq!
Not a game. We talking about practice.
LeBron James with no regard for human life! And he's gone to the
G'day and welcome again to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I am your host, Mitch Casey, and down goes Allen Iverson. And I am your host today, and you can find me on Twitter at BallBoysNBA and on Instagram at BallBoysFantasyBasketball. Today we are talking about some sell high guys who you can maybe capitalize on off a hot streak of form. They are outperforming my expectations. And if you can get someone of around similar value to what they're doing at the moment, or on the season, I think that you should be, it would behoove you to do so because I think you would come out on top at the end of the day. How many have we got here? We've got seven players to go through. We're just going to get stuck straight into it. Again, make sure you guys are following me over on Twitter at BallBoysNBA. Lots of news being passed over through there. My quick and fast reactions is the best way to get those, get the jump on your league mates in terms of those waiver wire ads and drops. So again, Ball Boys NBA on Twitter. All right, so first few guys, let's start with Jordan Clarkson as a sell high candidate. Jordan Clarkson is currently the 87th ranked player in 9 category leagues over the last week. However, he is the 48th ranked player and he is currently playing really, really well for the Utah Jazz team, which is surprising the entire NBA and winning lots of games. Currently number one in the West. Did not think I would ever say that sentence before the season started, but here we are. He's playing well. You'll see a similar theme for a lot of these sell high guys, at least these first few, as like a shooting guard mold type. He is currently in the last week putting up 22 points per game, 3.8 threes, 4.5 rebounds, 4.3 assists, 0.3 steals, 0.3 blocks. He's shooting 50% from the field and has not missed a free throw at 100%. So for me, he is the kind of player that I don't really love in fantasy basketball. The scorers who offer little else outside of points and threes. He, even in those numbers there, he's still averaging 0.3 steals and 0.3 blocks. The 4.3 assists is nice, and he's actually averaging 5.2 assists on the season, which is very encouraging for him. I think it is another string to his bow that he's added, and it seems to be somewhat consistent so far this season. He's only had 2 games at 3 assists or fewer. The rest have all been sort of 4, 5, 6, 7s, 8s. No real outlier of a game really dragging his average up. So really encouraging there. I think that maybe we are seeing an improvement to his assists, which have been basically 2.5 for the past couple of seasons, under 2 the season before that. So perhaps he can get those assists up to 4 per game, which would definitely mean that he is an improver on his 162nd ranked season last year. He's currently averaging 31 minutes per game, which is up from his 27 minutes per game last year. Now, of course, there have been a lot of trades on this team. This is a different roster than previous years. So, you know, maybe his minutes are going to be sticking around at this point. And who knows, even if, say, this Utah team continues to win, this might just be his role. What I am banking on here in terms of selling him high is that this shooting will go away. The usage will start to spread out a little bit more. As much as I don't like him, Colin Sexton should start to see an uptick in his usage as well. He has been until today's game, which was a big old stinker. Was seeing an increase in his minutes. But Jordan Clarkson, especially if you look at these last weeks, one, two, three, five games in a row, 20-plus points scoring. And again, like we said, shooting over 50% from the field, that is not what Jordan Clarkson is known for doing. So I think that that field goal percentage will drop down. As a result, the points will drop down and the threes will drop down, which are currently at 3.8 over the last week, 3.2 on the season. I expect that more to be like a 2.5. Points to be a little bit further down to sort of like 15, 16 points per game. The assists are encouraging. I think 5.2 is, again, unrealistic to expect. So I see that dropping back more closer to 4. Still an increase on what he has done in the past. And then again, the lack of rebounds, steals, and blocks just limits his overall ceiling. So if I can get safe top 100 guy for a Jordan Clarkson, I would do so. Top 90 is what I'd be aiming for. If I can't get that, then I just ride it out and enjoy this because I do think that he will improve. He, in the last two seasons, his best season was in 2021 where he's the 105th ranked player. So I don't necessarily think that we're going to see, or it wouldn't be realistic to expect a top 100 season out of Jordan Clarkson. He may get there, but I'm going to hedge my bets to say that he will be just outside that range in the 110 to 125 kind of zone, making him a must roster player. But I do think that if you can get a top 90 guy at this point, people are very attracted to his points and his threes and sort of the eye-catching numbers, that you might be able to do that. You know, say that these Utah Jazz teams playing really well, he's got a bigger role with all the trades that have been made, you might be able to spin that into your narrative. So for me, Jordan Clarkson is a sell high. The next guy here, again, these first few players are going to be similar sort of archetypes. Buddy Hield is another player who is a sell high. He is currently the 36th ranked player on the season. He is the 24th ranked player in the last 2 weeks. On the season, he's averaging 18.5 points, 4 threes, 5.3 rebounds, 3.3 assists, 0.8 steals, and 0.4 blocks. Now, all of that, to be honest, looks somewhat sustainable. However, the only thing that I would say is that, number one, the field goal percentage at 46.3% is actually pretty high for a Buddy Hield. The last three seasons, he's shot all of them below 43%. The last two seasons, below 41%. So I think that that has a ways to drop. And I think that the 18.5 points is probably a little bit high. I expect him, again, to be a bit more around that 15, 16 points per game. The threes, whilst he is going to be a good three-point shooter, maybe not at 4 per game, maybe closer to 3 to 3.5. The assists are interesting because we did see his assists improve when he moved over to Indiana last season after the trade deadline. He seems to have picked it up. He was slow to get going in the season with a couple of duds in his first three games, but since then has really put it on. He's had an 8-assist game, a 7-assist game, a 6-assist game. The most recent game, today's game, he put up 0, no steals and blocks, which maybe is a little bit of a concern and affects your sell high ability, but I still think that, again, the eye-catching points numbers, the eye-catching threes, and the rebounds as well have also been probably above what we would expect for a Buddy Hield. He's averaging 5.3 on the season. He's never averaged over 5 before in his career, so I think that that will also trend down. So most things, I think, will just fall away a little bit here. He's boosted again by low turnovers in terms of his ranking at 1.7 per game, and the efficiency is pretty good, and at the free throws. So I think if you can get a top 50 player for a Buddy Hield, I would do so. A top 60 player, I'd probably do so. He probably is someone who should be a top 80 guy, top 75 guy, there or thereabouts, and especially if you are looking for his threes and points, he is valuable. So by no means is he going to completely drop off, and look, I think you just wait and see if there is going to be a trade coming for now. It doesn't necessarily look like there's one immediately right around the corner, but of course, that is always another risk you've got with Buddy Hield. So if you can get, like I said, a top 50 or a top 60 player, if you're looking for something different, I think that that can be considered a bit of a win in terms of trading Buddy Hield. So I think that, yeah, I think that he is a decent sell high, but he also is someone that probably will, as long as he's on the paces, will probably outperform his average draft position, which is probably something we predicted in the preseason anyway. But when that, or if that trade comes along, that will definitely, no doubt, affect his fantasy value. The next guy here, last guy of this kind of archetype, this one I probably feel the most confident about of those past three, and Sadiq Bey is my final sell high for those three-point specialists or three-point valued guys. Last week of the season, he is averaging, he's the 59th ranked player, he's the 73rd ranked player on this season. On the season, he's averaging 17.1 points, 1.8 threes, 4.8 rebounds, 1.4 assists, 0.8 steals, 0.3 blocks. The free throw shooting on high volume is really carrying his value. 90.8% on 5.4 attempts is actually really, really good. It's an elite contribution. But the rest of those stats, they're pretty, subpar, I guess you could say. He's not even putting up more than 2 threes per game, which I'm sure maybe some of you might be surprised to hear. The rest of it just really is fairly empty. And again, the last week, top 60 guy, but again, it's fueled almost entirely by that extremely high free throw percentage on high attempts. And I think that if either the attempts drop away, or even if he goes from being a 91% guy to an 84% guy, that's a dramatic loss in his value, even though he's still a good free throw shooter at that elite level. When you just take a little bit away, it dramatically changes his lines. For example, a couple of years ago, so last season he was an 82.7% free throw guy, putting up pretty much the exact same numbers, even better threes. But in that season, he was the 103rd ranked player. So at the moment, he's probably 30 to 40 spots above where I expect him to finish the season. I think that if you can get someone again for a top 85, top 90 player, I think that that's a big win, especially if you, don't necessarily require his elite free throw percentage build. You use his, his eye-popping stats in terms of the points categories. He's been putting up some decent points these last couple of weeks. 28, 10, 22, 18, 25, 18, all in the last few games. So I think, again, eyes gravitate to those numbers. They'll gravitate to the ranking next to his name, 73 on the season. And we do know that I think that that free throw percentage is it's enormous. It's a massive boost to his value. And I think that you might not really think of a Sadiq Bey as an anchor for your free throw percentage team. And I don't think that, I think both the attempts and the percentage will both drop, which will fall his ranking way back down to earth. So I think he's a pretty safe sell high guy, and I reckon you might be able to do so. The next guy here, I might get a little bit of pushback from, but Russell Westbrook is, to me, a very clear sell high. I am recording this right now as the Laker game is being played, and I'll just check what he's on. We've got 6 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter. He's currently on 10, 4, and 6. Field goal percentage is down, hasn't taken a free throw yet. So hopefully, this is probably not the best performance today, but the sentiment around Russell Westbrook and his role coming off the bench is that he's dramatically changed and dramatically improved. He is currently, very much to my surprise, before the ending of this game, he is the 95th ranked player on the season. In the last week, he is the 18th ranked player. In the last 2 weeks, he is the 62nd ranked player. Now, there are several things that I think are going to absolutely change for him here. So in the last 2 weeks, let's say the last week, which is a three-game sample size, he's averaging 56% from the field. He's averaging 93.8% from the free throw line, 23 points, 2.7 threes, 1.7 steals. All five of those things, all five of them are going to drop. They are 100% going to drop. He is someone who's not averaged more than 1.3 threes in the last three seasons, and now he's, in the last couple of weeks, averaging more than two. coming off the bench. He's averaged less than a steal last season, averaging 1.7 so far in the last week, 1.3 on the season. That will come down. The field goal percentage absolutely is coming down, averaging 44%, 43%, 47% the last three seasons. He will not keep shooting more than 50% from the field. And the free throws, like, what the hell is going on? He's shooting 5.3 attempts at 90%+, 80% on the season. All of a sudden, he's remembered how to shoot free throws. Last three seasons, 66%, 65%, and 76%. So all of those numbers, and of course, that will affect his scoring as well. So all of those numbers I expect to come down. Russell Westbrook is someone that gets a lot of hype in points leagues. I think that even in a points league setting, it's a great time to sell high. Those efficiency numbers will drop his value in a points league. He's more valuable in a points league, obviously, but especially in a category league, use this opportunity, even if you picked him up the wire. A lot of people still really like Russell Westbrook. He's getting MVP chance at Lakers games. He's got that name recognition, people sort of attaching the bench role as sort of a savior for his value. Dennis Schroeder is still yet to come back into this team. Look, he's definitely improved and definitely is someone that you need to have on your roster, absolutely, and I think he is owned everywhere. But I am not for one second thinking that he is going to be a top 50 guy moving forward because he's now coming off the bench. Nothing else has changed. I still think Russell Westbrook is going to be Russell Westbrook. It's definitely helped his value. There's no denying that. But I think some people will go too far the other way and say that he is back to old Russ again. They remember the top 20, the top 30 numbers that he used to put up a couple of seasons ago. And I think that that is a bit foolish for us to think, but we can capitalize that. And if you can do that, and if you can get a top 50 guy for Russell Westbrook, I would absolutely be pulling the trigger so fast. So I think he is definitely someone I think you can get some decent value in trading him at the moment. Moving away from some guards now, we are going to go on to the fantasy world's favorite waiver wire ad, and it is Bol Bol. I've said it before on Twitter. The most surprising thing that I've seen this season is the emergence of Bol Bol and the season that he's having so far for the Orlando Magic. Never did I think that we would be discussing Bol Bol as much as we are. Never did I think that he would be a top 50 player come the fourth week in the NBA. But here we are. We're here right now. 48th ranked player in 9 category settings. He's the 41st ranked player in the last 2 weeks. He's doing that all in this on the season, averaging 23 minutes, averaging 27 minutes the last 2 weeks. I just think that, and I've always thought this when he happened, I didn't get him on any of my teams outside of a Dynasty League thing. I think I already had him, Deep Dynasty League. I never added him because I was worried about what happens when the guards come back and the team is more healthy. Now, we haven't seen that really yet because Cole Anthony's been out, Fultz hasn't come back, Terrence Ross went down, Suggs did return, but again, a few of those other guys fell out. We've started to see little bits of it emerge recently. Today, he did play 25 minutes, but the game before played 20.6 minutes. It's a wild, wild ride for a player like Bol Bol. I think that as much improved as he looks, I still don't really think he's a great on-court NBA player. The Orlando Magic are experimenting a lot right now with the bigger jumbo lineups, and that is working okay. I mean, they're still losing a lot of their games, but I don't know if it's going to continue when players like Fultz come back, Cole Anthony comes back, even to a lesser extent, Ross or Gary Harris come back. I fear that he might become a drop basically at some point this season. And if you can get away with grabbing someone, getting a top 80 guy, a top 75 player for a Bol Bol who, you know, everyone's sort of saying he's the pickup of the year, he's the league winner acquisition early in the season. And look, it could be, but I think that this is pretty much his ceiling. I don't think if you traded him away, you'd be missing out on anything major. And again, his value is very much concentrated in only a couple of different areas. You know, 11 points per game, it's below average. 0.6 threes, below average. 6.8 rebounds, it's good. It's pretty decent. That's a good bonus there. 0.5 assists, terrible. 0.2 steals, terrible. 2.1 blocks, amazing. Okay, so this is big boost, 67.5%, amazing, big boost. And then, you know, low, good, efficient free throws on low volume and 1.7 turnovers. So it's the rebounds are okay, the blocks and field goal percentage are really good. And then he doesn't hurt you from the free throw line and turnovers. But no assists, no steals, threes are below average, points are below average. So if you don't need those things, then he's useless to you. Like, he does, he's very boom or busty kind of type. His value in a ranking sense, I don't necessarily think is super reflective of his true value. So if you can spin the narrative and you can get, like I said, a top 70, top 80 guy for a Bol Bol, I would absolutely do it. Maybe you won't be able to do it. And again, if you don't need the blocks or the field goal percentage, you can get a top 100 guy. I still think it's probably worthwhile if that suits your build a little bit better, because I think there's a real risk in a month's time or so when a few of those guys are back that he is someone that we are dropping off our teams. It might not happen, but I think it's a real risk. And I also think there's not going to be much more upside than this that we're currently seeing for Bol Bol. So for me, in some situations, I definitely think you can make sure that Bol Bol is a sell high. I've heard crazy trades of him being traded for Evan Mobley's and those sort of things. I don't expect that to be possible in general leagues, but you know, shoot your shot. I think you might be able to get something at least better than what I expect him to do for the rest of the season from this point on. Moving on to the next player here. Can't be a sell high show on the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast if we don't talk about Tobias Harris, who continually, again, my number one bus and my number one sleepers are trying their very best to destroy my credibility. But at the moment, Tobias Harris is the 31st ranked player on the season. The last 2 weeks, he's the 26th ranked player. And the last week, he's the 15th ranked player. Now, there are several things here that are absolutely going to fall away. He is currently shooting 2.5 or hitting 2.5 threes per game. He's getting 1.4 steals, 0.7 blocks per game as well are the big things that are going to fall away. The last three seasons, 1.4 threes, 1.3 threes, 1.8 threes. The last three seasons in steals, 0.6, 0.9, 0.7. So you're going to lose a three, you're going to lose a steal per game. He is benefiting a lot at the moment with James Harden being out. Of course, that is obvious. But there are a lot of people out there that still believe that Tobias Harris is a top 50 guy. He's just always kind of been that top 50 guy. And they don't really think too much about it. James Harden, the reason I was really low on Tobias Harris, by the way, when James Harden came over to the team, he dramatically fell off. He was outside the top 100. So obviously, when James Harden is out of the lineup now, he is looking a lot better, okay? Now, when James Harden does come back in 2 or 3 weeks, then it is going to affect Tobias Harris. Some people don't put those two and two things together. They obviously know that he's going to be better, but they may not view him as an outside the top 100 guy when James Harden is in the team. They might see him as like a 50 to 60 kind of guy. So if you can get someone who's a top 50, top 60, top 70 player for Tobias Harris, I would absolutely do it. At this point, I probably wouldn't be settling for something around the 80, 90, 100 zone. I'd rather just keep Tobias Harris and ride out this hot streak and this period with James Harden out of the lineup. But if I can get like a top 50, top 60 guy, I would definitely be pulling the trigger and someone who maybe is a little bit more upside. Because again, he's putting up 15 points, 6.5 rebounds, 3 assists. It's very okay. But as soon as those other peripheral numbers go down, the threes, the steals, the blocks, it's not all that exciting. It's fine. And that's what I was saying about Tobias Harris in the preseason. He's going to be fine. But did you want to take him top 60? Did you want to take him top 70? No. You want something a little bit more upside-y, something that can definitely swing you in certain categories here and there, whereas he is just average in everything at the moment. And I think that he is a clear-cut sell high. As much as I bang on about Tobias Harris being bad, he continues to make me look a bit stupid, but I still feel very confident that he will definitely not be this good moving forward. And the last guy here, which is a bit of a sell high, although maybe not as much as the other guys, but the last guy I've got here is Ivica Zubac. Now, he was someone that I was pretty keen on early in the preseason. I dropped him a little bit further back in my rankings because there was a lot of talk about playing small ball for the Clippers, but now Kawhi Leonard's missed a lot of time. He's getting extended run and they're going bigger more often in the Clippers, but he is currently the 52nd ranked player in on the season. Again, I am recording this whilst the Clippers game is going on. Let me just check the stats again. So Zubac is currently 33.5 minutes, 10 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks on 100% field. So I think his ranking might even improve from this. So right now I'm looking at the rankings and he's the 52nd ranked player. In the last week, he's the 32nd ranked player. Everything he's doing looks pretty sustainable to me, except for the 2.5 blocks. Okay, so I'll read out his stat line for the season. 10 points, 11 rebounds, 1.4 assists, no threes, 0.6 steals, 2.5 blocks per game, 57% from the field, 62.5% from the free throw line, and 1.9 turnovers. So that all seems very achievable to me, except for the 2.5 blocks. He, in the last three seasons, granted, it's been on fewer minutes, he's put up one block, 0.9 blocks, 0.9 blocks. So if we go back to more his per 36 numbers as well, where would I have that? Basketball Monster doesn't have that. Okay, that's okay, not during the season. So I think from memory, here we go, per 36. I'll just pull that up because his block rate is, I think, far higher than even the increase in minutes would have you suggest. So this season, per 36, he's averaging 2.9 blocks. The last three seasons, he's been averaging 1.5, 1.4, 1.8 blocks per 36. So if he goes from 2.5 blocks to 1.5 blocks, that is actually going to cause a dramatic fall away in his value, I think. Now, everything else is sustainable, and he is going to probably beat his ADP, in my opinion, so he was a good selection. He's not the most exciting guy because, you know, you look at the 10 points per game, and it doesn't fill you with excitement, but he is a very solid, safe big man. And again, it's kind of been more about selling high on the ranking, selling high on the big block games, which we have seen. We've seen him block four shots per game twice. He's had a 5-block game, a 7-block game against OKC. Those big games early in the season when we're still in the small sample size of things, those are going to be the ones that are buoying his value up. And instead of being a 52nd ranked player for the season, he might be a guy maybe around that like 80 to 90 zone. And if you could, so then if you can get someone who's a top 70 guy, I think that you should probably look to do that. And again, if you, you know, maybe take his blocks with a bit grain of salt, maybe you can make an educated decision on whether or not you can make a better move for your team if you perhaps don't need the huge influx of blocks that Zubac has given you that maybe were a bit unexpected. A lot of times I was drafting him maybe in a team that was punting something like a punting assists or something like that, not necessarily looking for his blocks, but just looking for good, efficient shooting. He will continue to do that. But the blocks, you know, might be something that you weren't expecting and you don't necessarily need. You've covered with other areas. So if you're overflowing with blocks, then I think that he is someone that you could maybe cut and get some good value and trade for a top 70, top 65 guy and come out on top there. But in saying that, I think that he probably has the biggest chance of all of these players that I've talked about to sustain his value. Maybe outside of someone like a Buddy Hield whilst he's in Indiana. But again, we have that threat of the trade looming over his head. So that will do it for us today, guys. Seven sell high guys that I think you can get good value from your fantasy league at the moment. Let me know down in the comments below if there's any other players that you're thinking about trading. If you think that there's someone else out there that you have on your team that you think is a sell high. If you have any questions, drop them down in the comments below. Make sure you guys are subscribed to the YouTube channel. Give this video a big thumbs up if you're listening over there. If you're on Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star rating. It would be much, much appreciated. And I will see you guys next time. Bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off My Rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.